One of the more interesting aspects of our species, Homo sapiens, is our command of languages. While animals communicate and demonstrate something analogous to human language, it's typically very different from that of humans. While some successes have been made, of course, animal communication, especially if it's complex, still mostly eludes us. Oddly, however, it may not elude artificial intelligence. There is some thinking that cracking the languages of animals might be eminently more possible for an AI than a human. That's going to be an interesting development for sure, if it proves true. But human language seems to precede us. There are some reasons to think that Homo erectus could speak and maintain language, and that Homo sapiens, Neanderthals, etc. entered from the start into a world of the spoken word. No doubt those languages differed from each other, as they do today. And it's an interesting notion that there may have been a time where humans and our precursors and subspecies all spoke to each other, and perhaps learned each other's languages, which may well have had commonalities stretching into the depths of time. But spoken language isn't the only way to communicate something. You could count body language, music, and mathematics as languages, in that they can convey some sort of message, if different, than spoken language. Indeed, mathematics can do it better than spoken language in precision. While most of us use it every day, where exactly did mathematics come from? And how did we adopt it on such a widespread basis? The answer is in thinking about the basis for mathematics. It's not hard to notice patterns in nature, magnitudes of things, such as a lot of something and very little, and even numbers. There are cases where animals seem to be able to tell the difference between a single something and a whole herd of something, and act differently toward it accordingly. The bird avoiding the rampaging wildebeest merely needs a tree. The bird avoiding a 500 wildebeest stampede does well to get out of Dodge completely. Counting something is probably something our human ancestors could do. We look at our hands while we work, and we notice that we have the same number of fingers as most of the humans around us. This ultimately perhaps led to our base 10 mathematics, but originally it was probably just noticing numbers. If there is something wrong, however, then the brain notices. An example would be comedian and director Mel Brooks, whose handprints in the concrete in front of the famed TCL Chinese Theater in Los Angeles has 11 fingers. Brooks wore a prosthetic finger as a joke. Someone passing by, however, noticing that joke is interesting. We could transport an early modern human to modern times, show them that imprint, and given that they knew what handprints were, would likely have noticed that something was off, just as an unsuspecting tourist might do today with Mel's handprints. Proof of counting is very old, and given that some animals have some sense of it, it seems that it was an advantage that evolution favors. An artifact known as the Ashango bone, found near the headwaters of the Nile River in Africa in what's today Congo, shows that people seem to have been counting as far back as 20,000 years ago. The bone shows marks and columns that go further than just mere tally marks, but actually seem to show prime numbers and evidence of its use as a calendar. This is debated, however, since it's been argued that to derive prime numbers you need division, and there's skepticism of that concept existing before the end of the last ice age, with prime numbers only showing up again around the 6th century BC. But again, that viewpoint was challenged recently by a rather surprising find. Actually a somewhat spooky one, telescoping through the mists of time from long ago in human prehistory. Caves across Europe feature famous cave paintings that depict animals very clearly, even some extinct animals, such as this Irish elk with its especially ostentatious antlers. But coming with these paintings is something that has been somewhat of a mystery. The paintings sometimes feature strange dots and what may be symbols that seem to have meant something, but it wasn't clear just what. Recently, researchers have suggested that they may be a kind of calendar. Looking at and comparing the marks seems to correlate with the life cycles of certain animals depicted in the paintings, with a certain Y-shaped symbol signifying the month the animal gave birth after snowmelt, most of which seem to be based on a lunar calendar. This is really strange. So these cave paintings average about 25,000 years old, some significantly older, and they all show similar marks, despite some of them being quite distant from each other. And the system appears universal, meaning that if you start with a snowmelt and start counting lunar months, your latitude doesn't necessarily matter, meaning that whether you were in southern France, northern France, Germany, etc., you could know what to expect as far as when animals reproduce from snowmelt, no matter where you were from, so long as you could read the markings. If you were migrating from Spain and found yourself in Belgium, you could shelter in a cave and read the walls, courtesy of others, perhaps centuries before, giving you a key to local survival. A contentious finding, but the marks are there. But say for a moment that's what they are. Then we know at least part of why cave paintings were made. They almost always show animals, and human forms are rare. In the whole of Chauvet Cave in France, for example, amid all the animal artwork, there are only two representations of humans, and then only partially. One is a series of handprints around the cave. This is not uncommon, making handprints that stand the test of time as seen all over the world, including theaters in Hollywood. But in the case of Chauvet, the handprints seem to all have been made by a single person, the prints marked by a slight deformation of a finger. The other representation, and there's only one in the entire cave, is a partial female form, likely a fertility symbol, that holds in common with the Venus statuary sometimes found in prehistoric European sites. With the animal paintings, however, it has always been assumed that they were religious in nature. Many different cultures revere that which they hunt, and that may well have played a huge part here, but the information carried by the dots would have been informational about that species by making use of numbers. Observations of animal behavior essentially have telescoped to us 25,000 years later from the very distant past. This also serves to bolster the case for the Ashango bone being a calendar, but also the complexity of the cave painting system suggests that these ideas are far older and did not emerge suddenly from a void when someone chose to paint a cave wall. These things show that as Homo sapiens, we may have been predisposed to the beginnings of math. And there's further evidence for this. The ancient Egyptians, for example, before the age of the pharaohs, knew of geometric shapes. That came in handy later. A pyramid is a geometric shape. But you also see those kinds of shapes in megaliths in Europe, and seem to reveal some deeper early understanding of geometry. But where it all becomes definitive is Babylon, starting about 3000 BC. Here we see the evolution of clear, very advanced mathematics, recorded in cuneiform tablets that show everything from geometry and math problems to everything one would need to keep a tax system going. Part of this remains today. The usage of 60 seconds in a minute, 60 minutes in an hour, the 360-degree circle, and the idea of fractions are all Babylonian. Indeed, the Babylonian system remained through its history into the Greco-Roman period and onward into the Christian and Islamic traditions in the Middle East as the most advanced mathematical system until the Renaissance in Europe. Likewise, ancient Egypt also had high-level mathematics, though fewer records of it exist, but even included algebra. Along with that, they had geometry, even taking math problems to the level of being intended to solve for entertainment, including one that actually allows for determining the volume of a type of pyramid. And there is some evidence that ancient Egyptian mathematics may sit on the basis of much earlier sub-Saharan traditions, those perhaps stretching back many thousands of years. Egypt's mathematics seems to have influenced the Greeks and Romans. Pythagoras is said to have traveled to Egypt to study mathematics from the Egyptian priests. But there are also cases where mathematics seems to have independently developed. China is an example here, which may have started at least as early as 1200 BC, but certainly was in full swing by about 305 BC. China seems to have developed on a different mathematical path, and by that time had the world's oldest decimal multiplication table, geometry, and the most advanced numeral system for its time. Unfortunately, a mass book burning in 212 BC seems to have destroyed a large part of Chinese knowledge in mathematics, so we don't really fully know what they had, only that it was advanced and likely formed the basis for Korean, Japanese, and Vietnamese mathematical systems. India as well, though no known texts of mathematics have survived from the Indus Valley civilization, the layout of their streets betray a knowledge of geometry. later well-developed mathematics seemingly drawing from the Babylonian mathematics are present. In the New World, yet another independent formulation of mathematics appears with the Maya civilization. This was a unique base 20 system, which allowed them to create their famously detailed calendar and their ability to successfully predict certain astronomical phenomena. Interestingly, most early mathematical systems didn't have the concept of zero per se, rather it was inferred, but the Maya actually did have a standard symbol for it. The Aztecs as well had a mathematical system, most notably in that they actually had developed a currency system based on copper that was so similar, even though very much independently invented, to the Spanish system, that an exchange rate between the two currencies was easily established. In South America, the Inca Empire recorded numeric information in the form of knots and strings known as quipu that involved very complex information storage, including undeciphered methods of color coding. The reality is that many different groups, some completely separately, developed systems of mathematics. And we've never stopped looking into it. In our global culture of today, there are mathematicians in all countries still working on developing it further, and it now integrates itself in every area of science and engineering, as one of the few universal language types we have, above and beyond verbal. Mathematics, especially in science, has proven so useful that it has been advanced that aspects of it may be universal, not just to humans, but any intelligent alien species. This thinking is straightforward, since we use math to very precisely construct things like radio telescopes, and there isn't really any other way to do it without some analog of our mathematics. Then for an alien civilization to be detectable at all, they would need to possess it. But within all of this lies an even bigger mystery. We often wonder if our math actually describes the universe, or if there are things in this universe that can't be mathematically described. So far, we've had resounding success with our mathematics and science, but here's a question. If animals possess some kind of rudimentary understanding of the difference in numbers, and as our intelligence increased, through our hominid precursors, we brought mathematics to a highly advanced level, and we can envision technological aliens doing the same, does this mean that the ability to do mathematics is a universal evolutionary advantage? Is it also a solution to the Fermi paradox, in that if you've got no mathematical ability, then you can't ever make yourself visible across the vastness of space? And this leads to another oddity. If you take an average person and show them a small group of objects sitting on a table, say 5 pencils, typically they don't need to count them. They simply inherently know that there are 5. This is called subitizing, and it's complicated. The skill is developed early in childhood and increases through development, but becomes second nature later on, and there's another type of it. If you go above 5, the brain relates it to groups of objects and adds them together, but without consciously doing arithmetic. But there is a limit before the numbers become too great to do it without counting. In this regard, the brain can only go so far. That we can do this suggests that subitizing is very old, and part of human development, and always has been. It's also been suggested that some animals do it. So if evolution can produce an inherent mathematical ability, then what does that say of nature itself? Does nature lend itself to mathematics because it actually is mathematical? And maybe mathematics truly is more than the sum of its parts. Thanks for listening. I am futurist and science fiction author Jean-Marc Godier, currently eyeing my Event Horizon counterpart suspiciously. Alternate universe me appears at a disadvantage in math skills compared to Anna and that weird possum, especially when it comes to budgetary matters and beard maintenance expenditures. I'm glad I live next door, and be sure to check out my books, which do not contain any equations, at your favorite online book retailer, and subscribe to my channels for regular, in-depth explorations into the interesting, weird, and unknown aspects of this amazing universe in which we live.